Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 963, Tattvam. Previously we had the name Tat. It's not usually thought of as a name. Tat or Tattvam are not usually thought of as names. Tat means that. And Tattvam means the thatness of the that. Or the essence. Yeah, that's what it means, the essence. Or the subject, just like we say, Vishnu Tattva. In this case, Vishnu Tattva means the category of Vishnu. Or Radha Tattva means the philosophical understanding about Radha. Of course, there's so much to this. Tat in Vedantic terms, if the term is analyzed by itself, it means that which is. Tattvamasi, famous words. You are that. You are that. Here, that means all that exists. The essence of that thatness is called tattva. And again, in Vedantic terms, the two terms could be, in some contexts, interchangeable. But tattvam really gives the idea of the essence of the essence. Satyadeva Vashishtha quotes from Shruti, as he almost always does, from Atharva Veda in this regard. Yo vidyat sutram yasmin ota praja imaha. Sutrasya yo vidyat savidyat brahmanam mahat. Yo vidyat, who knows. Sutram, that string, upon which all of the living beings are strung out. Who knows the thread of the thread, knows Brahman, which is great. This is from Atharva Veda. Often we think of Atharva Veda as being the fourth, sometimes not even considered directly among the Vedas. Sometimes we speak of the three Vedas instead of the four Vedas. But here we have an Atharva Veda, absolutely Vedantic perception, explanation. And of course this subject, ota, prota, this example is given repeatedly in the Shastras, in Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the Supreme Brahman, the Supreme Lord. Ota, prota means like the warp and the warp and the web, now I'm forgetting the words, of the cotton. The cotton which is strung, it is in one way and another way, and it all interacts and it all holds together. So that's a very good example to give some insight into, maybe simplistic insight into, the tremendous complexity of the universe, how the Supreme Lord is the universe, and the very fact that the cloth interacts like this, one way and another way, at the same time, the cotton itself is not of that nature. It's It's not constrained to be in any such way. So we're trying to discuss about the Supreme Truth and how the Supreme Truth maintains the universe and is aloof from it. It's highly subtle, complex, metaphysical topic. In Gita, Krishna very simply says, Mataparataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutre manigana eva. Simplifies the whole thing by saying he is the supreme to whom none is equal. All living beings rest on him. Everything rests upon him as pearls are strung on a thread, or as these beads are strung on the thread. So, tattva, one of the understandings of the tattva, it is the support of something without which it isn't. It's essential to the very existence of that entity, which can raise philosophical questions also. Is it a human body? If you cut one arm off, if you cut two arms off, if you cut two legs off, is it still a human body? And then you only have the torso left, and then you cut that in half. It's a gruesome example. But the very tattva of Krishna, he's the very essence of everything, means that he is, as he is, we have from the Bible, God saying, I am who I am, in the Old Testament. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is his essential existence. If we say, well, yeah, I believe that Krishna existed 5,000 years ago, but I don't believe he was God. I don't believe he was supreme. Then, or we may say, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here 500 years ago, but I don't believe he was the Supreme Lord. He was a great devotee. But then we're trying to divorce him from that which is the very essence of his existence. It doesn't work. Then you don't know him. You can make a scholarly study. He was born such and such a date. He went here at this time. He did this at that time. But he can't be understood without accepting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And over and above that, he's to be accepted with a mode of devotion. We'll come to that more in the next name, Tattvavit, the knower of tattva. So he is tattva for the whole universe, the material universes, the spiritual universes. Everything in this universe functions, goes on in its various ways. The scientists are very busy studying the functions at the microscopic level, at the macroscopic level, and everything in between. They're trying to work out how it all exists. How does it all hold together? That, they don't have an explanation for it. They just say, well, anthropic principle. It's like that, so it's like that, which is no explanation. He is the one who holds it all together. We discussed this in the previous name also, prana jivana. He is the tattva, the essence behind all existence. Parashar Bhatta explains this term as saransha, which is essence. Tattva, this short Sanskrit word, you could write volumes and volumes and volumes to try to explain it. The whole universe is an explanation of it, but the whole universe seen in relation to Krishna, then we get the word tattva. And simple word, saraṃsha, the essence of everything and all the, or the principle of the universe, and all the commentators on Vishnu Sahasranam take it to mean like this, the essence. The example given Parashara Bhatta gives, it's a common Vedantic example. The very essence of milk is ghee. Ghee is that which, it can be extracted, but when you see the milk, you don't see it. But it is the essence of the very taste of the milk and the nourishment of the milk. Of course, you can get milk without the ghee in it, and that also has some nourishment. So it's not a perfect example, but definitely in Vedic culture, ghee is considered the essence of milk, and that goes into discussion of performing sacrifices and so on and so on. The pleasant flavor of milk comes from the ghee, and ghee itself has a most pleasant flavor. So, in the same way, Bhagavan is the essence of all things. He's the cause of their existence, the source of their sustenance. He is the comparable to the nectar. The ocean was churned, so many things came out, including Vishnu avatar, Dhanvantari. But he is the, what shall we say? He's the nectar from the ocean. If we churn and churn and churn philosophically, we come to the nectar. He is the nectar. No, he's the taste of the nectar. No, he's the pleasure that one derives from the taste of the nectar. What is it about him? It's very hard to define. But ultimately, one has to taste the pleasure of Krishna. Ultimately, when one has been through so much philosophical, is it this, is it that, it's like this, no it's not, it's like this, or even describing Krishna, but ultimately, enjoy. The purpose of life is to enjoy. I heard Srila Prabhupada say that. It struck me at the time, and it still strikes me. The purpose of life to enjoy Krishna is that rasa, raso vaisa, again rasa, can mean the essence. He is rasa. Parashara Bhatta quotes, doesn't give where he quotes from, paramartha asheshasya jagata prabhavapyayam sharanyam sharanam gachan govindam navasidati. Govinda is the really real thing. He's the cause of the creation and the destruction and protection. Anyone who takes shelter in him, who is the one who is most equipped to give shelter, fully he can give shelter. Anyone who takes shelter in him will never experience grief. So this is the practical application. He's the essence of everything. We should go to the essence. Stop trying to nibble on the peripherals. Come to the essence. Krishna is the essence. Again, Parashara Bhatta quotes, Ekato va jagat krishnam, ekato va janadanaha, sarato jagata krishnat, atirikto janadana. If we were to put the entire universe on one side, and Bhagavan Janardhan on the other, we will find that Janardhan is more. That's all. As I'm studying from a Sri Vaishnava commentary. There are many quotes from Divya Prabandhams. There's a quote from Andal, who in her famous Nachaya Tirumoli states, she's, this is similar to the Hansaduta of Rupa Goswami, who has Radha, or the gopi, wanting to tell the bird to bring a message to Krishna, who's in Mathura, which is again reminiscent of Kalidasa's Meghdoot. Anyway, Andal is asking the bird, my Lord is not here. He is my Tattuvan. He is the essence of my life. You go and tell him to come to me without any delay. So she refers to, here Andal is referring to Vishnu, Ranganathan, as the very reason for her existence, the essence of her life. And of course this is with Radha. There's no Radha without Krishna. Krishna is the very reason for her existence. And if we really know Krishna, to the extent that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed, there's no Krishna without Radha. We don't, those who are Gaudiyas, they don't want to see Krishna without Radha. So Krishna is everything, he's the essence of everything, the soul of all beings, as the Paramatma in everyone's heart. We're speaking Radha Tattva. Now we come to Bhagavad Gita, discussion of the universe. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava tat tat evavagachatvam mama tejongsa sambhavaha. Lord Krishna says, whatever you see within the whole universe, which has power, splendor, might, energy, whatever is wondrous and wonderful, you should know, Arjuna, it just comes from a tiny fragment of my power. Another commentator, Sri Radha Krishna Shastri, gives another angle on tattva, that which leads to existence, that which exists before there is existence, before this universe existed, he existed. And when the existence of this universe ceases, he will continue to exist. So he's the real origin, the tattva, the cause of all causes. Other causes, they will disappear. But he who is the root of everything, the cause of everything, he is tattva. From Narayana Upanishad, tattvam Narayana paraha. Narayana is the supreme tattva. So we can speak of, sometimes devotees jokingly talk about maybe some eccentric devotee. We can say, oh, that's Krishna das tattva. He's just like that. That's his nature. Or we may talk about, jokingly about British tattva, the way the British think, or whatever. But the supreme tattva, instead of looking at so many things in the universe and trying to analyze their natures, which are all temporary anyway, we should see the supreme tattva, the supreme existence, the supreme essence of everything, from Narayana Upanishad is Narayana. Shankara interprets the term tattva as synonymous with Brahman, which, if you didn't notice, that's what we're talking about. When we say the supreme support of everything, that which existed before everything existed, the ultimate cause of all causes. What we're looking at is that which is described in the Vedas as Brahman. So Shankara gives synonyms of the word Brahman: Tattva, the essence of everything; Amrita, deathless; Satya, truth; Paramartha, the supreme meaning; and Satatvam, eternal. So these are all synonyms for Brahman. Baladev Vidyabhushan says that Bhishma Dev, he gives this name Tattva to indicate, remember that Baladev Vidyabhushan has been explaining these previous series of names in relation to Krishna's dealing with the gopis. So Baladev says that Tattva here means this is the true nature or essence of Bhagavan. It's not that he's playing with women and it's all illusory and the ultimate truth is beyond this. No, this is the absolute truth. This is the essence of Krishna's existence, to sport with the gopis. And he also, Baladev, gives from the Vishvakosh dictionary, he gives synonyms of the word tattva. One is a kind of musical instrument, another meaning is one's real nature, and another meaning is the supreme soul. So one's real nature, Baladev says, it is Krishna's real nature. It's not that he's just doing some outside show, but the activities of he, the supreme soul, in relation to the gopis, that is his real nature. They're not illusory. Everything about him, his abodes, his opulences, his associates, and the activities manifested by his swarup shakti, his superior energy, they're all real, real, real. Taking thankfulness from the Madhvacharya. It's real. It's real. What Krishna does, it's real. It's not illusory. Next name, 964, Tattvavit. We just had Tattva, which means the truth. So Tattvavit means the knower of the truth, or the knower of truth. This description can be applied to others other than Vishnu. Bhishma Dev, who is speaking this Vishnu Sahasranam, is himself described in Bhagavatam as Tattvavit, because he spoke on so many subjects of which he was well acquainted with, and he knew the essence of them. He knew them all very well. So he explained them all to Yudhishthira. Therefore, he's called Tattvavit. In the Gita, chapter 3, text 28, the name or the word Tattvavit comes to refer to the knower of the absolute truth. And this is referring to a self-realized sage, not referring to Vishnu. This name also comes in Gita, chapter 5, text 8. In the purport to Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 3, text 28, Srila Prabhupada explains, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Tattvavit, for he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme. So Tattvavit means to know what is the absolute truth and what is our own position in relation with the absolute truth. And of course, Srila Prabhupada is referring here to the well-known and essential verse from Bhagavatam, Vadanti tat Tattva vidas, tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. Tattva vidaha is the same as tattvavit. Baladev Vidyabhushan explains this name to mean that Krishna eternally knows his own real nature. So tattvavit means to know that the Supreme Truth is Krishna, and to know Krishna means to know his energies, his pastimes, to know Srimad Bhagavatam. And to know him is to love him, or we cannot fully understand it without loving him. So one who knows Krishna, but who knows him the best? Himself. Parashrabhata similarly explained, Atmana tattvam veti iti tattvavit. One who knows the truth about himself. So for us, a jiva, to know the truth about ourselves, means to know ourselves in relation to Krishna. And for Krishna to know about himself means he knows who he is. He knows everything about himself. It's similar to the description in Bhagavatam of Krishna in Dwaraka in the early morning doing meditation on the Absolute Truth. He meditates on himself because he is the Absolute Truth. He's setting the example for householders or any person on a higher level of consciousness in the Vedic culture. They should meditate on the Absolute Truth. But when Krishna comes to meditate on the Absolute Truth, he has to meditate upon himself because he is the Absolute Truth. Discussing tattva, tattva is also discussed in Sankhya philosophy, which analyzes the whole cosmic manifestation. Within the cosmic manifestation, generally it is analyzed as, well, actually, we find that in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, when Krishna describes the Sankhya system, that different Sankhya philosophers analyze, there are so many different elements, and they give different numbers. But a commonly given number is 24, and they can all be called tattvas, the five gross material elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Then there are the 10 senses, five senses for acquiring knowledge and five senses for acting, senses of perception and senses of action, gyanendriya, karmendriya. So we have earth, water, fire, air, ether, 10 senses, that comes to 15, and then there are the five objects of the senses, or the five manifestations of the senses. So we have sound, touch, smelling, hearing, seeing, and these are the activities of the senses, and their objects are form, sound, touching, is feeling, seeing. Then there's smell, rup, rasa, there's taste, rup, rasa, gandha, sparsha, and I'm missing one. Seeing, touching, smelling, feeling is the same, tasting, hearing, sound, and then there's mind, intelligence, ego, and then the soul. Aparayamitastvanyang prakriting vidhime param jiva bhutang mahabaho yayedam dharya te jagat. There's everything material is there in the universe, and there is the soul, which energizes it all. So in this way, there are 24 elements, but the Vaishnava Sankhya yogi, see, the 25th is the Supersoul, the Supreme Lord, who combines them all together. It's not an easy subject to understand. Even with great intelligence, even with many years of study, what is the true nature of the Supreme Lord? It's very difficult even to understand our own true nature. It's very difficult. Even a man may live with his wife for 50 years and still, what is her true nature? He may understand so many things about her, but what is her true nature? Maybe very difficult to understand. So what to speak of the Supreme Lord? Not easily understood even by the likes of great demigods. This is repeatedly pointed out in Shastra. Even great demigods and great yogis can hardly understand him. Young Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Marutas, Tunvanti, Divyaista, Vair, Yas Yantam, Navidu, Surasara, Gana, Devaya, Tasmai Namaha. Obeisances are offered to that personality who is praised by Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruts, all the great demigods, by chanting transcendental hymns, but whose limits cannot be found by any demigod or demon. The demigods, they praise him. The demons, they try to measure him. They can't find his limits. From Brahma Sanghita, Pantas tu koti shata vatsara sampragamyo vayora tapi manaso munipungava nam sopyasti yad prabhada simya vinchintya tatve Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Srila Prabhupada quotes this in his purport to Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Text 23, and therein he explains it that the conditioned souls may try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many billions of years through their mental speculative processes, traveling at the speed of mind or the wind. But still the absolute truth will remain inconceivable to them because a materialistic person cannot measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited experience. So even the great Munis traveling at the speed of wind for millions of years, they can hardly approach to what even the boundary of him, because he is avichintya tattva. He is that tattva, that essence, which is very, very difficult to understand. So the point is, he understands himself, but he's not easy to understand. And it even what to speak of the great demigods and great yogis, even the Shastras, whose only function is to describe him, they also declare, Taittiriya Upanishad, Yato Vacho Nivartante Aprapya Manasasaha. Words, they cannot, words, they turn away from him. In other words, they can't reach up to him. They just, we can only go so far with words to understand him. And you can't catch him by the mind. No one can describe him. Even the Shastras, even the great demigods, cannot describe him completely and comprehensively. What can we say? We can say he's the fundamental principle of all tattvas. Okay, that's got it. That's great, that's true. But to fully, that's a summary, a simplification. Who can understand him? He can understand himself. The true, full tattvavit is Krishna himself, the one who understands himself. As Arjuna says, we find in Bhagavad Gita, Swayam evatmanatmanam veta tvang purushottama bhuta bhavana bhutesha deva deva jagatpate. O Supreme Person, O Creator of all living beings, O Lord of all beings, O God of all gods, O Master of the universe, you yourself know yourself by yourself. We also have the statement from Shruti, Twameva Twam Veta, you certainly, or you alone, are aware of yourself. But then again, we come to descriptions that even he cannot fully understand his own greatness because he's so great that his greatness is always expanding. If Krishna tries to explain the glories of Radha, who is non-different from himself in one sense, he cannot fully explain. And Radha, who's the greatest knowledgeable, she cannot fully explain about him. There's no limit. You can't measure that which is unlimited. Shankaracharya's explanation of tattvavit, tattvam swarupam yathavat veti iti tattvavit. One who knows the truth as it is, he knows the functions of creation, preservation, destruction, giving the results of their activities to the jivas, how to bring the jiva to him at the appropriate time. He is the one who knows all of this. So from understanding the very tiniest thing in the universe to the vastness of the whole universe to the very nature of himself, the very nature of his love of Radha, he knows everything. Is that correct? Not exactly. Then we have to consider why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes at all. Why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exist at all? It's a strange question, but it is taken up right in the beginning of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Radha yaf praniya mahima kidrisho vana yaivasva dyo yen adbhuta madhurima kidrisho vamadiyaha sokyang chasya mad anubhavata kidrisham veti lobhat tad bhavardya samajani shachi garbhasindho harinduhu. Krishna wanted to experience what is the greatness of the love that Radha feels for me. What is that extraordinary sweetness in myself that she can taste, I can't taste? What is the happiness that she experiences in me? I can't experience it because I am me, being very desirous to know this. Krishna appeared in the womb of Shachimata. Inconceivable. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas chakipa sindubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.